Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers, and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the sack. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
A week to forget, I would say. Many injuries. The star man, Tom Trbojevic, is down. A lot of stuff's happening in the judiciary on Tuesday night. We're going to be crossing our fingers, toes, and hoping for the best. But one man that, I guess, had a better week than most, Brew SC, joined me once again. Mate, how are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, Whisperer. How are you going today?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Look, I think it could have been a lot worse. Looking at the team I was going to field for next week, it doesn't look awful. Just hoping Tyson Frizzell does get off the charge that he's going to be facing at the judiciary. There's a mountain of stuff that's come out of this weekend. Most importantly, Tom Trbojevic. Mixed reports. Some are saying 1 week, some are saying two, but the sources that I trust are saying closer to 3 to 5. That's going to throw a huge span of works in the team. For me, the first ideal replacement would be someone like an Adam Dewey. I mean, if you have Adam Dewey in your 5/8 and you have a dual position halfback, the best move you could probably make is like Trbojevic out, Cleary in via dual positions. That'd be pretty ideal, moving Dewey down.
Oh, absolutely. And sorry, Cleary at the moment is probably the only one that can really match what Trbojevic is doing. And I don't think anybody else in the fullback spot can actually do that. Whereas Dewey's punching out about 100 per week. So I really like the Dewey move, especially if it means that you can get Cleary in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most sensible. Like Trbojevic out, shift Dewey down to shift Dewey down to fullback. And then if you have a halfback that can move down, something like a Matt Burton, if you had Matt Burton as your backup half, that'd be ideal to move him down, get Cleary. And I think that you don't lose too much production there. But mate, how did you score this week?
I got 1465. I was looking really good after Saturday night, and I actually thought I was probably going to get 1550 plus. And then Sunday was a real punch in the you know what's for me. It would cost me my charity league match against SC Spy. Ended up seeing Red Arrow somehow scoring a 1465, which is crazy, and dropped 42 spots.
Yeah, I scored 1350. Saw Red Arrow, had to play Jake Simpkin, but it looks like Jacob Little is out for the week. So anyone that's held Jake Simpkin, you're going to get a number there for next week. It looks like he's going to play 80. The biggest threat was obviously Mbai in recent weeks, but he's playing fullback. So yeah, Jake Simpkin looks like he's coming in for Jacob Little for a week, which I guess is ideal if you own him. Something that isn't ideal though, Jerome Hughes featured in the Storm's 26-16 win over the Canberra Raiders. We saw that pretty shocking hit from Corey Hadawira-Nairo. There's no complaints from me. I think you're in the same boat about this. It's a straight send-off. It looks like he's missing 4 weeks. Look, he didn't score fantastic, 51. Kept that try assist that was, I think, I would say pretty dubious. It's hard to know with the line in the sand where Supercoach scoring stands. But a 51 from Jerome Hughes looks like he's probably out for the next 2 weeks. That's a real kick in the dick for owners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's been a real shining light this year in the halfback slot, and he's been playing some great footy. I didn't have any issues with the send-off. I did think it was a send-off. I thought Madison's was a send-off too, and there's another person that maybe during the week got off a little bit lucky during the game. But for me, CHN, unfortunately, as an owner, yeah, gone for a month.
Gone for a month, but I guess it's a blessing in disguise. No longer that AE nightmare scoring 15 to 25 points off the bench. It's ideal. We see the Melbourne Storm at the top of the food chain here. A guy that we touched on last week that we said is always a thorn in team sides. We don't know how he's going to go. Some weeks he'll come out and kill it. Other weeks he won't. Harry Grant back on the scene. How's that going to affect one particular Brandon Smith? But did score a try. Got an 82. As I said, we touched on him last week, and you can never really tell when he goes huge. But he's always a thorn in my side and always seems to pull out these scores when I need him to the least.
Yep, the Wombat strikes again, mate. Another barge over try, another really solid score. Owners certainly cannot be disappointed.
With all the carnage that's happening around injuries and suspensions and whatnot, With Jerome Hughes going down, yes, it sucks. I wonder how Craig Bellamy's going to suit up next week, whether we see a Hines and Munster halves combination, or he does bring in Cooper Johns. But Nico Hines, 72 on the weekends, with all the turmoil that's happening around, you'll take that every day of the week, considering recent form of his.
Yeah, absolutely. I personally think that Pappenhausen will start at fullback this week, that Hines will play seven, and I think you'll find that you might have someone like a Cooper Johns play on the bench, and maybe at that point in time when he comes onto the field, you might have Hines go to the fullback position, and Pappenhausen might not play the 80. That's what I'm expecting to happen.
You could even have the situation that happened this week where Hines moves to that sort of roaming position that wouldn't hurt his Supercoach standings at all. Mate, you're a Cam Munster owner. Now, 68 from him hasn't particularly set the world on fire, but he hasn't really let you down though either.
No, he's been solid. He's always good for somewhere between the 50 to 70, and sometimes you need players like that, but overall, it's a little bit disappointing because, you know, we know he can have that really massive ceiling, but it's just not happening at the moment.
Yeah, it's one of the ones where you look at Cam Munster, you don't expect anything less than a 50, but you don't really expect anything more than a 120. You look at sort of recent years of him putting on these mega scores, I think he's transitioned more into a ball player rather than that one that's going to take the line on. He'll have it every now and then, but not the same as someone like a Cody Walker. But if you're an owner of Cam Munster, there's definitely worse options to have at that 5'8 role. Mate, we touched on Harry Grant last week. We said he was a pretty good trade-in. I still stand by that at 64. If you brought him in, you're not going to be upset with that. But if you did wait the week on Harry Grant, seeing him score a 64, it's one of those scores where it's sort of in the middle where you're not too upset that he didn't go huge, but if you did bring him in, you're happy to pump out the mid-60s.
Yeah, I think both sides of the fence would be pretty happy. You know, 64 might be a little bit disappointing, but it's still 64 points, and you're not going to look at that and go, oh, that ruined my week. And for the non-owners, it's the same thing. If you see Harry Grant get 64 and you waited a week, you're cheering, I think.
We touched on Jack Whiten last week as probably one of the biggest flops of the season. And for me, he had one of his best games of the season this week and still only scored a 61. It doesn't quite add up with, I guess, the amount of talent that he has. I think he had two try assists and a line break assist and still only pumped out a 61. It's I wouldn't say worrying signs for Canberra because I think the season's sort of gone off the boil a bit. But when your star player is playing one of his best games of the season, it's only translating to a 61 in sort of Supercoach standings that not particularly ideal. Bailey Simonson with 106. If teams still have him in the centre wings, not a bad score to have, especially as an AE or a 17th, 18th man. Moving down, we see Corey Hadwira and Ira, as we said, 13 points from him. That included a send-off. His season's done. As I said to you, mate, I think it's a blessing in disguise, personally. We're not going to be copying those unfortunate AEs anymore. We move on to the Dragons and the Panthers. The Dragons going down 16-34. Dylan Edwards top to score this one with 96. Not too much to talk about here from him, considering just the amount of talent that we have at fullback. But with how little talent we have at halfback, Nathan Cleary's first game back, 82. One try assist, did basically nothing. Got off the shoulder charge. It's a huge positive for super coaches and a huge positive for players looking to bring him in replace of Tomas Trbojevic, isn't it?
Very good signs. So I think he played a little bit. He protected himself a little bit. He didn't do, you know, what he normally does, trying to protect his body. Although he didn't really protect his body when he did a blatant shoulder charge and got off. But for Supercoach owners, they'd be thrilled with 82 points and a safe and happy return.
Also pretty thrilled with the 71 from Matt Burton as well. He's put together a couple of back-to-back pretty good scores in recent weeks while with the absence of Cleary, but he shifted back to the centres. And if you did trade at Cleary and you've got no other option other than Burton in your halfbacks, it's not a bad score to take.
Burton is my halfback and he's my only option. So more of the same, please, Matt Burton.
And Nathan Cleary coming back looks like it's freed up Jerome Luai. 63, not outstanding, but it's definitely better than some of the shit we've had to put up with in the last 10 weeks. I think we said last week that he hadn't had a score above 50 in 10 weeks. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Jerome Luai is back to somewhat of his best. Moving down the list, I guess the only disappointment from a Supercoach relevant standpoint here is someone like Aviliami Kikau only getting an 18. Not ideal. For the Dragons, though, Zach Lomax and Jack Bird, probably the standouts for me in terms of relevancy. Both those guys, 67. I know that you're a huge fan of Zach Lomax, as I am with myself. I brought him in midway through this year. I brought him the week that he did his hand, which wasn't ideal. But yeah, I think the Dragons play much better footy with Zach Lomax in the side.
Absolutely. Really, really good ball runner. Really good goal kicker. He's got a nice flick pass. He's got pretty good base in him. I'm hoping he only stays between 50s and 60s for the rest of the season so he can be a nice cheap pickup for next season.
Yeah, hopefully pick him up somewhere around the 400k mark for the season next year. A guy that we're pretty keen to pick up, Junior Amoni, Talatau Amoni, however you guys know him as. I'm not too sure what's going to be happening with Corey Norman and the Dragons next year, but if Junior Amoni comes in, this is a guy that I identified back in preseason. He had a brilliant trial, and I didn't expect him to get as much footy as he had this year, but yeah, it's pretty annoying that he's pumping out these fantastic scores because he's gone from under 200,000 to probably 250, 260k for next year, and looking like one of the cheapy halves of the future. I know that you don't know a huge lot about him, but just passing the eye test, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. Eye test is fantastic, and he looks like he's going to be someone that we might need in the halves next preseason. He's playing good footy, and I don't understand at the moment why the Dragons aren't playing the young fullback. I forget what his name is. Fresh in my memory. Sloan.
Sloan, Sloan, yes.
Yeah. Like, you've got Amone who's playing really good football. You had Sloan playing really good football, and you can play Jack Bird anywhere pretty much in that side, and you're just kind of wasting him at fullback. He doesn't look like a fullback. He works his guts off. He's probably the hardest worker in the team, but why not give Sloan the opportunity to thrive alongside a young halfback now?
Yeah, I think if the Dragons are realistic, their top eight chances are done, even though they're still mathematically possible. Surely they just have to realise that dream is over and blood the youth, blood the guys for next year. I'd be definitely happy to see that. As a Roosters fan, mate, this one was scintillating stuff. 20-21 against the Broncos, up and down the last 10 minutes. James Tedesco, top score with 99. I just don't see where his points come from, which is fantastic for Supercoach owners. If you can't really see where he's getting points from and still pumping out 100, you'll take that every day of the week.
Absolutely. He just runs and he, you know, zigzags across the field, getting tackle busts, and he works his ass off, this fella. I think he's trying a bit too hard at the moment, and that's resulting in some errors. I don't think he's gelling too well with Walker, but from a Supercoach perspective, the guy just bangs out scores for fun and he looks like he's back.
The biggest positive I would take away from being a Teddy owner is not the 99, but it's the fact that he put in like a nice little grubber in the end goal. Looks like he's added a string to his bow, and the fact that he's added that field play kicking, I think that's going to add another 10 points onto his average moving forward. Isaac Leo with an 86, CRC with Takiyaho with an 84, Dale Copley with a 73. Looks like Dale Copley's out with a suspension for a week, but as a Roosters fan, you've got to be pretty happy with the performance he put in, a fair bit of base on him as well.
One of the best games I've seen him play in the NRL, actually. I thought he had a real good game, and he didn't actually look out of place, which I know when he previously played for the Roosters, I was singing out, drop this bloke, why is he in the team? But I wasn't doing that this week. He looked pretty good, I thought.
I guess we'll touch on Joey Manu. If you're an owner, you look at 51 and think, oh, could have been more, but he did nothing. Like, Joey Manu did nothing and still pumped out a 51. So when he does get a try or a try assist or a line break or whatever, those scores are going to skyrocket. I think he's had 5 weeks in a row with base over 40 and just put this one up to another game of over 40 in base for Joey Manu. He's really transformed his game. I remember the last 3 or 4 years, people would buy him, but he'd be a casual player's pick. If you asked a casual NRL fan, or who would you put in your fantasy or Supercoach team, a lot of them would say Joey Manu, but for the experienced guys that really look at their stats, he's now adding that base to his string to his bow, and I think it's really helping his standings moving forward, especially into next year.
50 in a quiet game, you'll take that every day of the week. He just wasn't too involved on the weekend, and I'm not sure why that was, because if you looked at the way that he finished the previous game, he was involved in everything. He was floating like a second fullback. He didn't do that this week, and maybe it just was a quiet game, and we'll see if he does it this week. But as I said, 51, when you don't really do anything, just bank that and move on.
Payne Haas, 84. Like, you'll take 84, but the fact that he scored a try with a line break and a couple of tackle busts thrown in there, that's a 30-point play. For what Payne Haas has been putting out in recent weeks, seeing him score a try with a line break, you'd be hoping for triple figures at least.
Yeah, you would have thought that he would have at least scored, you know, 95 to 100 with the try. He played really well in the first half, and then you didn't really see him as much in the second half. I think he might have got a longer break than normal. But at the same time, in the last 4 to 6 weeks, Haas is banging out score after score after score. So if you're an owner, you're probably just rubbing your hands together and say more of the same.
I bought Thomas Flegler midway through the Origin period when he was going to cover. And I thought he'd play big minutes. And it never sort of materialized, never really got a score above 50. This is what I've been holding him for, I guess. I was forced to play Flegler. He got a 75. Obviously had that try assist off the kick, which is ideal. Albert Kelly with a 65. Danny Levi with a 61. Jordan Rickey with a 61. At the start of the year, the Broncos were a plethora for Supercoach talent because they were all so underpriced. But as the season peaks, it's really only Payne Haas that you're sort of looking at. A side that you do look at for Supercoach, though, they are brought in this week with a lot of reinforcements. They do get Alex Johnson back, which is huge, which is the South Sydney Rabbitohs defeating the Gold Coast Titans 36-6. Cody Walker top scored this one with 121. This is some of the best footy that I've seen from a 5-8 in recent memory.
Oh, what a streak he's on. I said on last week's podcast that I was going to hope for a high-scoring day game and I was going to vice-captain him, and I did. And I was tempted to loop. I didn't, thankfully. But he's just on fire at the moment, and he's floating both sides of the field. And Souths are just, they're just really rolling forward. I'm really interested to see how they go this week against the Storm, because the Storm haven't been as good, I don't think, over the last month. Still winning, obviously. But Souths are hitting peak form, and I think there might be an upset this week.
Yeah, Melbourne went through that stage of sort of round 7 to round 18. I'm just absolutely demoralising teams left, right and centre. And I say fallen off a cliff a little bit. They're still undefeated through, 18 games, which is immense. But not quite the heights we saw of them. And yeah, the Rabbitohs are hitting their strides. Look, the one thing that does concern me with the Rabbitohs is that they do switch off for 15, 20 minutes in the second half. And they did that this week, let in the try. But Cody Walker obviously had a field day. Not to be overshadowed by Latrell Mitchell with 115. Look, if Latrell Mitchell is reasonably priced next year with no Adam Reynolds, I can see a world where he is potentially one of the highest owned fullbacks coming into next year, especially with the goal kicking.
Potentially the second highest owned fullback. I don't think, regardless of price, I can start without Turbo if he's fit to start next year. But at the moment, I'm eyeing off Latrell Mitchell. I think I said it on Twitter earlier this week. I'm eyeing off Latrell Mitchell to start next year. Goal kicking, he's just getting better and better and better playing in that role. And he's such a damaging runner that some of those runs that he makes down the sideline often, he just, loads up on the tackle busts and then he ends up with a try assist and it's just white gold.
Alex Johnson is back this week, as we touched on, but the man that replaced him hasn't done a bad job the last couple of weeks. Josh Mansell with 94. I think he had 170 the week before. I think he had nearly 100 the week before that, from memory serves me correct. Like, Josh Mansell has had a pretty scintillating month of footy, and unfortunately he's going to lose his spot. It just shows you how stacked that left edge for the Rabbitohs is.
Yes, someone on Instagram said that he owns the best real estate in the NRL or in Supercoach. I'm not sure who that was. Do you know who that was?
Wonder who's... I reckon that's the same bloke that said Jai Arrow was a massive trap. But no, in all seriousness though, like, it is the best real estate to have in the NRL. Like, just being parked on that left wing for the Rabbitohs, there isn't many better spots to have in the NRL.
30 tries on that left wing, if you total in Mansour's last 3 weeks or last 4 weeks, however long he's been playing for, and you add that to what Johnston did for the start of the season, it's just nuts.
Yeah, definitely. You'll take that. And the same thing with Braden Burns. He got 92 as well, replacing Dane Gagai. So one drops out, another one comes in. They just step up and perform. Damien Cook gets an 80. Now, I don't know if I watched this game correctly or not, but I don't know how Damien Cook got an 80. Maybe I missed a try assist or something. But if you're an owner, you'll definitely take that, despite the season Cookie's had this year.
Yeah, I personally didn't see where the points came from. Like, he didn't look too different to what he normally does. So he must have got some junk involved in that somehow. We can have a look. It just looked like a typical game for Cook. And somehow he got 80. So owners would be absolutely loving life with that.
All preseason, the battle was between Jacob Hoste and Keon Kulamatangi. Bennett went with Hoste to start the season. A lot of people jumped on him. And then I think he was dropped week 2. And ever since then, Keon Kulamatangi has really nailed down that spot. He bagged a 63. Totola, he grabbed a 61 off the bench. Great stints from him. Arrow with a 55. Cam Murray with a 49. Not a whole lot else to really talk about here from the Rabbitohs. For the Titans, though, no. Brian Kelly, 99. What was that, sorry?
No, I was saying, yeah, not too much else. But I will add that Koala, he looks fantastic on the edge at the moment. He looks like a genuine edge runner, and he's left host for dust this year.
Yeah, it's funny that all preseason we did speak about Kumatangi and Host, and Host did win the battle to start the season, but yeah, Kumatangi has blown him straight out of the water. As I said, Brian Kelly, 99, owners that maybe have held, I don't know really who would, finally hitting some kind of form. He's had a decent month of Supercoach scores, but I think he's been one of the biggest letdowns for me this season.
Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely.
Just with how much hype that he had coming into the preseason, obviously everyone was on the base that train, and he was one of the best for it and didn't, I guess, live up to it. Corey Thompson's been a revelation this year. I don't know why the Tigers let him go. He's been fantastic. I remember he set the world on fire in the first 5 or 6 weeks, averaging over 17. Came back today with a 73. But I guess I'll touch on David Fifita. No tries, no involvement, 31, coming off the bench in a game where I understand Holbrook bringing him off the bench against weaker opposition, have the middle sort of soften him up, and then he comes on and explodes. But against the Rabbitohs, I just thought that you'd want to be getting on the front foot and getting ascendancy, because if you just let the Rabbitohs get on top of you, it's exactly what happens. They put on 36 points and the game's done. Fifita came on and didn't have an impact at all.
Yeah, well, I ranted to you during the week about this. Why would you have your best player coming on the field sometimes when the game is over, like you're too far behind to catch up? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I think a lot of his tries, when he had his, you know, try scoring hat tricks multiple times this year, a lot of them had an early try. So it's not like he can only score against weakened or tiring defenses. It just, some of the decisions that have been made up there are just baffling for me.
For the Cowboys, look, this was a shit game to watch. As a Tigers fan, I'll take the win. Nice. We still have the dream of coming in the top eight, but most likely finish ninth as always. This was just a rubbish game to watch.
It was an absolutely terrible game to watch. The only thing that kept me glued to it was the fact that my opponent in the charity league had about 5 Tigers, so I was death riding it like no tomorrow. But the game itself was rubbish. Both sides played terribly. It's like nails to the eyeballs.
Yeah, Adam Dewey's been killing it, mate, week in, week out. Told people to get him back in round 10 or so, and didn't do it myself. Another guy that I told people to jump on early, and unfortunately didn't do it myself, Ruben Garrick, 199, scintillating stuff. But the question needs to be asked, if a winger is now getting the 5th best Supercoach score of all time, we need to sort of look at how the points are being scored.
Oh, yeah, it's too lopsided at the moment. You've got fullbacks, halfbacks, and now wingers scoring 200-plus scores, regularly scoring 150-plus scores, and you've got forwards that are barely ever cracking a ton at the moment. It's way too lopsided, and I think something needs to be done to even that up.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think we've had 3 scores of 200-plus this year. I think we've had 5 scores of 190-plus, so yeah, I mean, Cody Walker's 203 last year looked the peak, but yeah, Cleary, Trbojevic, now Garrick's entered the conversation, Pappenhausen at the start of the year as well. Like, there's just been scintillating stuff, and it's fantastic for owners, but with the game, the way the modern game is changing, I think needs to be particularly addressed in the off season. And it just speaks when Tom Trbojevic scores 179 and isn't the top scorer of the game. It just shows you that the scoreline definitely reflected this with the 56-10 thrashing of the Eels. And yeah, that left edge sort of exploded. But how do we see Garrick going now that the reports are out that Trbojevic could be out for up to 5 weeks?
Look, Manly have 3 pretty easy games, but I think he would still score well if he was still on the wing. But given that they'll probably move him to fullback, I think that's probably going to limit him, and you'll find him, he'll probably score in the 40 to 60 range across those 3 weeks, which is nothing, obviously, compared to his stats on the wing with Turbo.
It's not the fact that he'll lose the try scoring, but Manly put up 10 tries this game. What's a conversion worth? 4 points. So that's 40 points if he made all 10. He missed 2, so take off 4 points. So he scored 36 points just in goal kicking, which is definitely going to help the average there. But yeah, Manly, I guess the positives is that DCE is hitting his strides. At the start of the year, DCE wasn't playing well without Turbo, but DCE is playing good footy. Kieran Foran's chiming in well. DCE got a 96, Saab got a 90, Moses Sully got an 83 in about 18 minutes, which equates to a 4.6 PPM. So for all you math heads out there, it's about 370 points through 80 minutes, which would have been nice for people that owned him. Kieran Foran with a 63. Dylan Walker's played some pretty good footy this year. He was someone that I touched on in preseason. I think he was underpriced, but didn't get the start. Coming off the bench, probably too unreliable to be looking at. For the Eels, though, no one scored above 50 points. Matto would have, but got sent off. And Isaiah Papali'i, 46, playing in the front row. Brad Arthur has well and truly killed him.
Yeah, you take your best attacking asset for the season, basically, and you slap him in the front row. It doesn't make any sense to me, especially when you're putting Sean Lane on in his place. So I would definitely be moving him back to the edge now that Madison's gone for a while.
Yeah, I think that's the best bet for the Eels to have any kind of stability moving forward for the rest of the season, as their season is in free fall. The Warriors, mate, they're building towards something. A couple of good wins, I think 3 wins in a row now over the Bulldogs, but a win's a win. You'll take the 2 points, you move towards the finals. We touched on Josh Curran last week, mate. You said as a Roosters fan, seeing him come through the grades was fantastic, and there was a lot of hype with him moving to the Warriors. And no Tohu Harris stepped up in that sort of role in the middle, pumped out at 139. I think he had 50 points after 10 minutes or something and continued on with it. Grabbed some points and updates as well. So nearly 140 for an edge back rower. It's huge.
Amazing. It was a real breakout performance for him. And, the way he's been playing over the last couple of weeks, you can see why it did happen. That couple of minutes at the start of the game where he made the line break, and then 2 seconds later he ran that excellent line off O'Sullivan. It was wonderful, and he was in everything. He's making 4 or 5 tackles back to back to back at some point during the game. He's going to become the heart and soul, I think, of the Warriors club and in that forward pack if they can find the success, which they might get next season, given that they've bought quite well and they've got a nice roster building now.
Yeah, it's not a bad forward pack. You're going to have, Matt Lodge, you're going to have AFB, you're going to have Tohu back, you're going to have Josh Curran, Jazz Tavanga as well as a guy that you want in your forward pack. And you've obviously got Reece Walsh, Shanil Harris-Tavita, Sean Johnson coming in as well. Cody Nikorima, if he can find some kind of form playing 9. Yeah, the Warriors are definitely building. But one acquisition that I really like is Ewan Aitken playing in the back row. 74, did nothing, all in base. Looking like one of the guys to have for next year.
Yeah, well, he didn't do nothing, clearly. He worked his ass off to get 74 points in base. And it looks like that's just what he's going to do. It looks like he's just one of those blokes that's got a high work rate. If you've got a trade, I think he's definitely worth it at the price.
Do we think next year it suits up with Curran at one back row, Aitken at the other, and Tohu at 13?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That would make the most sense, especially based on current form, but it's a little bit hard to tell. They've been rotating a little bit with who comes in and who goes out, but I think if they base it on the way that they're playing at the end of this year, especially without Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you'd have to think that is going to be the way that they line up to start next year.
Yeah, hopefully. And obviously Reece Walsh getting a 75, him at the back, I think he's developing week in, week out, has the goal kicking, probably not your top prospect, but if you need to get some cash for Turbo, if you need to get some cash for Cleary, going Turbo to Walsh isn't a bad idea. Obviously a big, big fan of his in my team as a bit of a pod. And yeah, pretty happy with the last couple of weeks of output that he's had. For the Bulldogs, man, I know you're a big fan of Aaron Schopp. I think they look better with him on the field, a big damaging ball runner. I think he'll be very, very, very good for them. A side that only scored 10 points, he pumped out 90. You'll take that if you're an owner.
He's been the shining light for them lately, I think. He looks like, he looks like he's a damaging ball runner. He's deceptively quick for a guy of his size. And I think even with all the extra people that they've got next year, especially, I think he plays left center and that will place him outside Burton. And he might be, if he doesn't get too high in price to start next year, he might be a sneaky option to start the year.
It's just so hard to put stock in the Bulldogs, isn't it? Like, especially with Addo Carr on his outside as well. I just worry that maybe he's used as a decoy, personally.
Possibly. But if he's cheap enough, you could put him, you know, as that, you know, center roulette awful.
The Jason Saab awful, of 2021.
Well, if he ends up finishing like Saab has, maybe that'll be okay if you hold him for the, let's say, the second buy.
Oh, I just realized I'm going to have to play Saab every week until here on out, and there's no turbo to make him any better, which is worrying. Josh Jackson got a 70, mate.
Enjoy your 5 points.
Yeah, exactly. Josh Jackson got a 70. I wouldn't be reading too much into this. You're going to have Luke Thompson coming back, and statistically, those guys don't score fantastic together, both sort of in the middling 50s. Ryan James, I like this acquisition. Hopefully, the Bulldogs can bring him on for next year. I think they're building something, and Ryan James, paired with someone like a Paul Vaughan or a Tevita Pangai Jr., whoever they play in the front row, I think will be handy for them next year if they can nab him.
Well, if they had those three guys that you said, that would be a pretty solid pack. Might give away a few penalties, but I thought Ryan James played really well on the weekend. Outside of getting his ass handed to him by Reece Walsh, he played really well for him. And then maybe the Bulldogs now go, you know what, he's not getting any time for the Raiders and Ricky doesn't, you know, appreciate what he puts in. Maybe the Dogs will come to the party and say, hey, do you want to come play for us next season?
Same with Corey Horsburgh. I mean, I only scored 46 in Supercoach, but I think he brings a lot of energy off the bench and a lot of aggression that maybe is more controlled than someone like a Jack Hetherington can offer.
Yeah, I'd take Horsburgh over Jack Hetherington. He's a head case, that bloke. He's a liability.
I mean, you want those head cases in your team, but controlled. But Hetherington just seems...
You want them to be more on the... Yeah, if they're more like, you know, Warrior Hargraves type, where they might give away penalties but don't necessarily get sent to the sim bin or sent off as regularly, it's a little bit different to Hetherington just doing stupid things on the field and then making things harder for the Dogs by putting them to be a man down.
Mate, we touched on the Cowboys-Tigers being the worst game of the round, but this Sharks-Knights affair, it certainly challenged them.
It was my worst game of the round because it killed me on Supercoach, and it was just a strange game. The Knights looked disjointed. They've got too many Chiefs at the moment, and it's interrupting their offense. They're not playing anywhere near their potential. You can't tell me that side, when it's at full strength, shouldn't be, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8. The Sharks show a lot of heart, but I'm not sure. They're just not good enough. I hope they don't make the 8 because I think it'll be disappointing to see teams get bundled out really easy.
And Ponga looks fucking shithouse.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, Ponga looks like he's carrying multiple injuries, to be honest. And he's not following the ball, which is one key thing that surprises me, because Ponga always follows the ball and most good fullbacks do, but he's just hanging off. And even when he gets the ball second receiver, he's jinking across field instead of taking on the line. I think something's up with Ponga. I think he's carrying an injury and he's just trying to get through to the end of the season.
That was the thing. Like the Knights looked on fire. They had Pierce hit Tuala on the left, and yeah, that may look fantastic, but you're right. Ponga was nowhere to be seen. Normally Ponga is either out the back as a decoy or throwing the pass himself. He was not there. He's also lost the goal kicking. I think people don't understand how much that impacts a good scoring side. We saw that Garrick picked up 36 points just in goal kicking alone on the weekend. And I know that sides aren't scoring 10 tries every week, but it's definitely going to add 15, 20 points on your average. And he's lost that. Clifford's taken over that. And I think that's, really, really killed Kalen Ponga. Going back up to the sort of the top of the list, David Clem with a 73, Anari Tuala with a 72, Bradman Best with a 72. Great to see him come back after a pretty poor week last week. If you bought him, I think I suggested him 3 weeks ago and he pumped out 100 and something, and then pumped out a 36, and then pumped out a 72. I mean, you'll take the highs and lows. Still a pretty good average to have if you're a Best owner.
Best is... The one problem with Best is that he can't string together football games. I think I heard them say on commentary that he hasn't played longer than 6 games in a row since he debuted in the NRL. And that's really concerning, and it's upsetting because he's such a good talent. He's an absolute beast of a centre, and if he could string together a full season, he'd probably be a top 4 centre.
Mitch Barnett, 65, no Lachlan Fitzgibbon. We expected a good score back from him. Jaden Brayley looks back to some kind of his best. I mean, 56. If you were debating whether to go someone to Grant or you stuck with Brayley, I think you and I both agreed last week that you'd stick with Brayley for one more week and see how he went. There was only an 8-point swing there, so you'll take that considering saving the trade. It's definitely worth 8 points.
I'd probably still save the trade now, to be honest. He did have more involvement. He probably had a lot of base because there wasn't as much attacking stats, which means there was more ball in play. But I don't think Grant's going to be gapping in by enough to warrant the trade, and trades are really valuable at the moment, especially with what's happening in the NRL at the moment.
If Grant was a safe 80 and Briley was pumping out 55, yeah, definitely go that way. But if they're within 15 points of each other, I think hold the trade. Connor Watson, 53. Tyson Frizzell, 47. Not what we want to see from him. He generally has a pretty good base on him. It looks like he may be out for a week, which isn't ideal. And yeah, Kalen Ponga, 36. Not what you want as him. As probably one of the best fullbacks to have for the run home, considering how juicy the Knights' draw is. It just didn't fire. And this was the week that you needed him to, first week of finals. You wanted to see him pump together some scores and get you onto the front foot. But finals are over for me, mate. I know that you didn't have a fantastic week by your own standards, but still 1,400 is a fantastic score. Where does that leave the Brewold order ranked?
Leaves me at 246. I think I'll have 17 players this week. I'll have to check that. I might have 16. I'm just scraping by, to be honest. When you're playing a front row of Fifita off the bench, Tino and Jack Bird, and they're the only three starters you got, you're definitely scraping the barrel. But at the moment, I seem to still be pulling out the scores, and I'm hanging on to my rank. I'm not honestly expecting to finish in the top 100 with the way my side is at the moment, so I think that dream's kind of gone. But I really want to try and hang between that 250 to 500 over these last three rounds. I think that'd be an achievement with where my side's at.
Captaincies, trade-ins, they're all going to be a pretty hot topic this week, mate. We'll get you back on Wednesday. We'll try and pick apart the...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Carnage that we saw this week, Team of Tuesdays obviously tomorrow as well. That's going to be a big eye-opener. But mate, I very much thank you for your time. The listeners do appreciate it. It as well. And yeah, for everyone listening, for now, keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.